Major Applewhite is calling in right now, as a matter of fact, here on ESPN 97.5. So we will talk to the head coach of the Houston Cougars, who had a tough one on Saturday. I mean, there was nothing easy about that. They're a more talented team than Rice. Has got a lot more athletes, but Rice hung with them for that first half. It was a good football game, and then the Cougs blew it out. And, you know, they were going to that was what was going to happen. They were going to wear them down. Rice doesn't have the depth that the Cougs do, and the second half proved that. And Major Applewhite is joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing really well. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. He joins us every week right here on ESPN 97.5. Well, tell us about that game. It was a little scary in the first half, huh?
Yeah, it didn't play as well as we wanted to, but, you know, that's typical of the first game out there in terms of just execution, always being on point and finding your rhythm. And so we found a rhythm in the second half, played better defensively on third down in the second half, and then we started connecting on some plays offensively in the second half.
Yeah, we were talking about that. You know, is it an advantage for Rice to have played a game, or for you being able to watch them and they haven't watched you? And in that first half, it was an advantage for Rice, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, experience is invaluable. And so that's whatever job it is, whether it's, you know, I don't care what job it is. If you've done it before, you have a better chance of having successful results the second time as opposed to never done it.
Do you, when Rice came out, Rice, obviously you'd seen him on tape and they struggled a little bit in game one. Did you feel like they had a big advantage playing that first game? Is that really that big an advantage to work the kinks out to where they came out and had a good first half against you and you said you didn't, you know, play the way that you wanted to? How much does that first game factor into the improvement from one to two?
I mean, from a coaching standpoint, yeah. Let's see, the coaches, you know, you learn how to communicate better. You learn how to work on your headsets better. You learn how to tell people in the headsets to shut up and get better communication the second week out. You're more efficient with your scout work during the week. You're better with your breakdowns and your tendencies. Your scouting reports are more concise. You're more pointed in your meetings because you realize how the kids performed after 1 week versus what you said to them during that week of preparation. So there's a thousand different things if you're paying attention as to how you can improve as a coach. As a player, there's things that you do in getting yourself prepared, whether it's film watching, note taking, warm-ups prior to the game, taking inventory on your mental state, your physical state as you go out there to start the game. There's a thousand things that you learn as you go into your first game. So, you know, it sounds very simple in just one little sentence that it benefits someone to have played a game. But there's a thousand things within that sentence that are true that if you've played the game and you've coached the game, you know what I'm talking about.
Major Applewhite with us here, head coach of the Houston Cougars on ESPN 97.5. So what did you see when you watched BYU in Arizona?
Well, I saw, you know, from just a team standpoint, I saw, you know, a group that plays hard. Their defense is more experienced, more comfortable, more in position. BYU's a very, very big physical team. And, you know, they go down that, I mean, it's downhill at you the entire game out of heavy personnel sets. And I saw an Arizona team hold up better to that. There was a streak there in the third quarter, where BYU started having some success on offense, but I saw their defense in general hold up better. Offensively, they've got a lot of explosive skill players. They didn't play the way they wanted to the first game, but you're always going to get better week two offensively because you're going to learn your pieces. You're going to learn where to get the ball, who to get the ball to, and what kind of way to get them the ball. And you're going to continue to learn your weapons. But I think this is a really good team we're getting ready to play. And special teams-wise, they've got a few guys in the return game that can hurt you. They don't try to, you know, go crazy on special teams, just very sound. So I think they're a improved ball club and a better football team than last year.
We're talking with Major Applewhite here on ESPN 97.5. There are very few guys in college football that have Khalil Tate's skill set.
No, there's not many.
No.
Not many. It's kind of like having Greg Ward. I mean, yeah. Probably 95% of the coaches in America would trade you theirs for yours. You know, we're very fortunate to have somebody similar who's, you know, is very smart, very competitive, very tough, but also a very good quarterback. He can deliver the ball and make good decisions and be accurate with the football.
Do you, since you have coached a guy who was a dual threat quarterback, and you know, I mean, you know, it's not rocket science, you know what they bring to the table, but you also, I'm sure, have seen you've been coached against by defense coordinators who tried to take things away from your offense and away from Greg Ward. Have you learned from defenses you've played and defense coordinators you've played, learn things that can help you here against Khalil Tate as a team?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is in terms of just as we rush this passer, you know, what are we doing? You know, I've seen, like you said, I mean, exactly what you said is a great question or comment because I've seen people spy two guys on Greg Ward. Well, if two guys you're taking out of coverage, you better make sure he can't see that or he'll hurt you in the passing game. Or I've seen him, you know, try to hold defensive ends, you know, in the run game on Greg, and that doesn't work. You know, so there's different things that you see, and you just kind of figure out, all right, how are we going to play this guy on first and second down? How are we going to play him on third down? He's going to be an active runner in the red, so how do we defend him there with an extra hat? And just kind of go through some of those things and see what fits and make sure that your guys can execute it in the end.
I tell you,
there's
one of the things,
different ways to get it done, but you got to make sure they can execute it.
I think one of the things you look at is you go back 2 years and you say, hey, let's take a look at what Todd Orlando did against Lamar Jackson. Because what Todd Orlando and you guys did against Lamar Jackson on that Thursday night game was outstanding. And really, he mixed it up so much so and brought players from where Lamar wasn't expecting it that he kept Lamar Jackson and that entire offense off. You know, I'm just thinking, it just came to me, that is a great example of a game you could go to right there in your own database and to go look at how a D coordinator really mixed it up.
Yeah, I mean, it was an outstanding game, and yeah, there's a lot of great things about that game, Lance. I mean, it's always good to play from a 7-0 lead because they fumbled open in kickoff.
Yeah, right.
So anytime you go out there with a 2-run lead as a pitcher, you can start throwing junk right away.
Right.
So there's a lot of things to take from that game. 31 points at halftime, 31-0 is a good score.
Helps.
So you can have fun with that stuff. But there's been other games, too. I mean, you know, we played a very elusive guy in Quentin Flowers last year from South Florida. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that we can look at and take note of and study and get ready for this game.
Yeah, you hope that Arizona's line is as crappy as Lamar Jackson's line was, too.
Boy, that was
bad.
Yeah. By the way,
magical night.
Yeah.
I want to just real quick before we get to more of your offense versus Arizona's defense. It had to be nice for you to see a guy like Stephen Dunbar, who you coach, and I asked you about him last year, just a phenomenal route runner and really clean, good receiver, not a fast guy.
Yes.
But it's nice to see him make the practice squad over there with, I think, the Niners.
Steve made it. DeJuan Hines, our inside backer, made it. Kyle Allen, Carolina Panthers, made it. Matt Adams was on the active 53-man roster. Greg is there with the Philadelphia Eagles. So there's a lot of guys, 17 guys, you know, from the University of Houston that are, on NFL roster. So it's an incredible run of talent that's been here in the last, 7-8 years.
I think that Ed Oliver might make an NFL roster someday, Coach.
I think so. I think so. Yeah, he's got a shot.
I think he does. And
Lance can tell us if he's got a real shot.
He does.
I've already got NFL teams like texting, like, I'm watching this. I'm just peeking at this Oliver guy. Like, wow, is he really talented? You guys played him over the nose though last year. How mixed? Well, I don't want to sit and ask you to give up your strategy on how you're going to use one of the most talented defensive players in the country, but it was a little unusual to see a guy with his size playing right over the nose the entire season last year.
Yeah, he played there. He played some three technique as well, and he's going to continue to move around and find different ways to get him matched up on obviously lesser players or a weaker part of the protection.
David Bassett, he's on his way over here with some bobbleheads. Ed Oliver bobbleheads for us.
That's how big he is now.
That's right. He is. Well, and you know what? It's a campaign for him to get all the acclaim that he deserves. That's nice, though. That's nice for the university and for what David, and I know he's on every watch list and everything else, but it certainly does. It helps you guys to have a guy that is as looked at as Ed Oliver is.
Oh, no question. I mean, it says a lot about our program that Ed trusts, that a great player trusts this program from the standpoint of I can get the education, the coaching, the exposure that I want to accomplish my dreams, which is to have a degree and to go to the National Football League. And it's all real and it's all possible. And here, I just did it. And I'm a living example. And then for him to cash in on it, so to speak, and make the most of it, and have an opportunity to get all these national awards through his hard work, he's done that. It's a two-way street. School can provide a lot of stuff, but you got to come with it. And he works hard, and he earns it, and he goes at it every day, and it's a joy to coach him.
watched a video this summer of him working with a guy on Twitter called Footwork King. He does a lot of stuff with offense with wide receivers. And this is Ed Oliver was catching passes and going through wide receiver footwork drills just to show off his footwork. It was unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen a big who could move like that. It was unreal.
It's, you know, people laugh, and I'm like, you know, when Ricky was like 250, 248, his Heisman year at the very end when we played Mississippi State in the Cotton Bowl in 98, it's not far off. I mean, he's about 280 pounds. You know, and I know that's 30 pounds in about an inch or two. But I'm just telling you, when I see his feet move around on the field, I'm like, it's not far off from like how Ricky's feet moved. I mean, his change of direction, his foot quickness, something else. I mean, you got to really get out there on the field to see it. Sometimes the film doesn't do it justice either.
All right, before you go, when's the last time you talked to Sonny? Are you guys boys, or you know, he was gone already by the time you had gotten there? But how well do you know Kevin Sumlin?
I don't know Coach Sumlin very well. I've met him probably, I don't know, maybe 3-5 times at just kind of coaching events, just kind of the handshake deal. And he's always been very nice. He's very, you know, relatable, and has always been very good to me. You know, there's sometimes those are some weird situations at coaches' conventions. They're like, you know, stare down contests. But he's always been very, very open and just cool with it. So I've enjoyed my interactions.
How are you in those stare down contests with other coaches?
Those things wear me out. You know, they do. I enjoy my buddies that I've worked with, that I've spent long hours in film rooms with, and know their families and their wives and all that, and it's fun. But sometimes those conventions are just, you know, enough. You know, yeah. Get back to your family.
Major Applewhite right here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us, and best of luck on Saturday.
Yeah, y'all have a good one.
Take care. We'll be out there. I'm going to go there. I'm going to be in with Mike Holly and the boys, John Loughran, Acme, are all, we'll be out there on and cheering.